Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it. Toppy, toppy.
It's Blackcap.
Hashtag fuck headers.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Come on.
Welcome to ABW Live. How are we all? Are you like me? Frustrated? Annoyed? Just a bit meh? I don't know. It was a bit of a game, wasn't it? It was a bit of a game. Let's see who's in the box. First in the box was MJL. Then there was Thomas from Norway. And 235100 came in then. Christian Andreasen came in then. Then we had Archie, Joshua Page. Varun's in there. Mayank Nagendran. K-Man 1867. S-Kam is there. Mike Hernandez is there. Sanam Gurung is there. I'm trying to find a couple of others. Oh, God, I'm giving up. Omaz is there. Tim Merrick is there. Yazguna's there. Thunder Road's there. Lars Goran N is there. Ron Rees there. Pablo Amar's there. And Shafiq is there. Ed Reynolds there. Hello, everyone. Welcome to ABW Live. It's the North London Derby. How the devil are we? Tonight, I'm joined by the one and only. He's my brother from another mother. We've been away for a while, but now he's back. It's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. I haven't got the enthusiasm today, mate. Something sapped it out of me just a little bit. It's just, yeah.
I'm struggling. I wonder what that is. I dread to think. Let's move on. Let's move on. We'll get to it quickly enough now. Right, next we have, he used to be the real Josh Dawe. Then OG took a photo of him on the weekend. He's the fake Josh Dawe. And now he's back to being just our Josh Dawe. Say hello, Josh.
Hello, Josh. And I would like to say for all those listeners who are playing the game, today's squash that I've got flavour is orange, because it was the closest I could get to red, because that's the colour of North London.
Okay, J-Rob has just donated £2 and he says, "Ah, man, I thought we were going to do it." I know. I'm really not happy. And we've got a surprise guest for you. Yes, he's back. He used to be the backbone of the show. And then he left us. He left us on a free so he could do other things with French Farmers League football and talk about French players and just, you know, be a bit hipsterish elsewhere. It's Chris Carpenter. Say hello, Carpenter.
Took you all of what? 2 minutes to get a Farmers reference in? Hello, Jason. How are you?
Kelly Mars just put in there, Carpenter out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Junior Gunner follows it up with Neymar. Pepe dribbles like Neymar and shoots like a Wobby. Mm-hmm. James Kevitt says a pirate. Omaz has put a question in there. We'll answer that later, Omaz. But, you know.
And 235100 said, "I'm not dead. Rumours quashed." I didn't know. I wasn't aware that I'd been reported dead, but, you know.
Well, I may have said something.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. You know, it's like. Right, on today's show then, guys. First of all, a little bit of a heads up. In today's match programme, they mentioned the Lord Hillwood, Steve Whittle. He had his honorary mention in memoriam there, and it was quite fitting. Arsenal home and away, you'd said, and always let people with a positive outlook on the game. Not if you listen to this show, to be fair. He'd love to be narkier types than Stevie Boy, so I just wanted to mention that. And a massive thank you to Chris Outlaw, who sent me this. This is great. We'd have won the North London Derby with that.
So, is that a little Mickey toy?
No, it's not a little Mickey toy. I'm Aaron Ramsey, I am.
Just be careful. He's a little bit delicate. Don't.
It's not coming out of the box. It's not coming out of the box. We're using like the police and those toys. You know, it's like, where did they touch you? Yeah. Let's not go down that road. John.
Let's move on quickly.
Sorry. Josh Page, I beat you to it. John, lineups. We went with the top three. There was no Willock, no Ceballos, no Ozil. Obviously, Unai's going to run at them. And you're Kolasinac in because Nacho's left. What do you make of it, mate?
Yeah, I was really happy with it, to be honest. I was really happy to see the front three. Everyone's wanted to see it since we signed Pepe. We all want to see, like I said, and Aubameyang on a pitch at the same time. It made perfect sense to me. Tottenham, you know, if you look at their form from the end of last season to the start of this one, they haven't been great. Our greatest thing we've got really in terms of going forwards is the pace we've got in the team. And we want to see more of Pepe, obviously. The midfield, I was actually happy with. I really like Willock and I think he's a great player, and I like Ceballos as well. He didn't do so great in the Liverpool game. I thought maybe this might be a little bit too much for Willock in this game. And I know people aren't keen on Xhaka, and obviously we will discuss him in this, but for me, it made sense having Xhaka in a team. And when you've got Torreira and Guendouzi next to him and you're actually playing more as a three in midfield rather than sort of one as a 10 or whatever, you've got runners around him who can do that for him and he can just ping the balls about. Sadly, that didn't really work out quite how I should have done today. But yeah, no, I was really, really happy with the lineup. I thought it was the best team we could put out.
I wasn't sure about that. I've got to be honest with you. I thought you should have gone 4-2-3-1, but as it turned out, you know, it's hard to knock the formation he's put out there. It was more than a mistake, which cost us, so to speak. Josh, to you, mate. You had an early Pepe chance fired over. Kolasinac put the cross in after Lacazette winning the ball. We really started off, you know, we came out for them, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's what we've kind of missed from those kind of games before, and just one of the things I think Emery kind of got right today was the way that we attacked them straight out. We know that with that midfield that, as you alluded to, Jace, was missing the more creative players that we've got in the squad, in the likes of Ceballos and Ozil and Mkhitaryan as well. So the way that we kind of attacked them, make sure we got it to that front three as soon as possible, was really good to see. It's just a shame what happened so soon afterwards. But yeah. In terms of the start of the mentality, absolutely bang on, kind of how you'd expect. Go for their throat straight away.
Yeah, I was happy to see that, Chris. Okay, you know, you saw AMN had a shot from a block from a corner, Lacazette with some lovely footwork, scuffing a shot. You know, I mean, to be fair, you couldn't knock Unai for his attacking intent today at all, could you?
No, not at all. No, I was like the other two lads. I was quite happy with the lineup initially. Well, I mean, as happy as I could be with one individual, but yeah, it seemed to be the right style of game to unleash that front three. I don't think Spurs knew what hit them. We targeted the right hand side, where I believe they had some sort of transformer playing at right back, because he's certainly not a footballer. He is fucking useless, that bloke. But yeah, I thought we attacked down the right, that right side cleverly, and we had them pinned back, and it's almost like just a repeat of previous derbies where the team that's in front goes behind, or the team that's on top goes behind. And that's one of the things I was really pleased with, our response to coming back into that game. But yeah, starting it off, I was pretty happy with how we started and how we took the game to them. And I didn't really see any team winning it but us for that first 15, 20 minutes, to be honest.
Yeah. John, all of a sudden, you know, all the early enthusiasm is brought back down to earth with an absolute bang, because let's be honest, it's the same old people making the same old bloody mistakes. Eriksen scores. You had the ball coming up in the midfield, Xhaka going for a header with Kane, Sokratis deciding to join the party for some reason and making the weakest attempt. It was piss poor from him. Leaving him out of position, and he did this against Burnley as well. They break, Lamela shoots, Leno spills the ball into the area, and Eriksen's first there because Sokratis is still jogging back from being a twat. Talk to me.
I mean, you summed it up pretty well, to be honest. I don't understand why Sokratis has gone for that ball. He's not the only one at fault for it, but again, it's what we've seen before, where you get individual errors and it leads to someone else making a mistake and it just goes from there. He doesn't need to challenge for that ball. He can clearly see Xhaka is challenging with Kane. He's got David Luiz next to him. There's no one else around, so he doesn't need to go for it. He can just hold back, See what happens. If Kane wins a knock-on, then he's there to pick it up. If he knocks it into Son, then he can hold him up, and David Luiz is there as his cover. Gives the midfield time to get back. I just don't understand what his thought process is. But from that, you get David Luiz has then got, you know, the guy running at him gets distracted by a run. I don't know why he has a look and he has a little step across. He should be following the ball. He must know because he can see Socrates is in front of him and there's no one else there. All he's got to do is try and, I say all he's got to do, is try and shepherd him as far away from goal, push him out wide, slow things down as much as he can to let people get back. I saw some people complain about Leno, like spilling the shot. I think he did everything he could. He's got his hand to it. It was a good shot at goal. I don't see what else he could have done, really. But it all stems from that first mistake from Socrates, who, it's disappointing because I thought for the rest of the game, he actually did some good things, you know, and I thought he was quite solid defensively. But why he decides to step up for that when you can clearly see Xhaka is going for the challenge and the ball. It doesn't matter if Xhaka wins the header or not. If you're behind him, then you can clean up. You don't need to be in there. I don't understand why he steps up like that. It's really stupid. And it's even more ridiculous when, well, I like David Luiz today and I thought he was good. I know lots of people complained after the Liverpool game. But when you've got someone next to you at centre-back who you know will step out with the ball or will step forwards a lot of times into a challenge, you must be aware that David Luiz is that sort of player and that risk is always there. So it's even more reason to not step forward and try and challenge for that there. It was really stupid from a guy who's got so much more experience than that. It just made no sense.
Are we putting too much blame on Socrates? Because to be honest, Leno should be pushing that wide, or he should be holding on to that.
I'm coming to ask you that now, actually, okay, Riddle? Well, first and foremost, if you're there for the second, if you're hanging around for the second ball, okay, the ball doesn't even get to Leno, Riddle. Josh, your thoughts on the save? I'm a bit in John's camp here. When I first saw it, I was blaming Leno. On seeing it again, I think it's a decent shot from Lamela, and maybe Leno should have had a stronger hand, but I think it's kind of hit him on the kind of on the wrist area rather than on the hand, so he hasn't been able to push it out. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, if he's a youth goalkeeper, then yeah, maybe I'd give him a benefit of the doubt, but he's not. He's Germany's third choice goalkeeper. This isn't an inexperienced guy. That's not a difficult shot. It's Lamela's weak foot. He's not put a lot behind that. He can just push it wide or he can hold on to it. You know,
but isn't the fact that you just said he's Germany's third choice goalkeeper, doesn't that say a lot about what we're expecting? We're expecting every goalkeeper in an Arsenal shirt to perform peak David Seaman or Jens Lehmann. Leno isn't that. We all know that.
No, but he's also...
And to be fair to him today, if he wasn't in goal, we probably could have conceded quite a few more.
But don't you expect him to make a better save, put something in better than that?
He could have pushed it wider, yeah, but he shouldn't have been put in that position in the first place.
But then he creates the whole system. If he saves it, it's great. Someone's then got to clear it up for him. But as a centre-back, I'm looking at my goalkeeper and I'm, you know, maybe it's Sunday League, I'm chasing that all the way in because my goalkeeper's a little bit ropey and he'll probably do something stupid with it. He's a professional goalkeeper. I kind of expect him not to make that kind of mistake. And that's why I think Socrates, who should be following the run of Eriksen. I can't excuse that at the same time. I'm not giving him a free rein for that. But you can see why the defence isn't as quick to come to that because they say, no, the goalkeeper's got it. It's fine. I'm going to go back up the pitch. It's not Almunia who's back there anymore, is it? It's not Cech.
I'm with Josh on this one. I have to say, I it doesn't excuse the... There's two sides to this argument. If Socrates doesn't race out of position to win a ball that's not his, the shot doesn't, or the play doesn't result in the shot from Lamela. But that shot's powder puff. Like it's for me, and I know, I think somebody should put in the chat, maybe we don't know goalkeeping. The one thing I do know about goalkeeping is footwork is a massive part of it. And you watch Leno's footwork when that shot goes, it's not great. It goes down very slowly. I think it's a little bit of we're trying to defend for the sake of defence. If Petr Cech had done that, I think a lot of people would have been up in arms. And I'm not saying that it wasn't, you know, it was a bit of a bobbly shot and, you know, it was definitely not a powerful shot. I just felt having got to it, you've either got to make a decision. I think Gary Neville brought it up in commentary. You've either got to turn it behind or you've got to bring it into your body. And it almost felt like you said, Jace, it hit him on the wrist and then it just bounced in front of him. I just think if you're in any doubt, turn it behind. don't, you know, don't try and catch or don't try and pull something in. And he did it again later in the game. So it's not, you know, we're all perfect. We're not trying to say he's going to be perfect, but Sir Antonius Block's put in the chat there, he's wrong footed. I don't agree. That's Lamella's weak foot. If you do your research, you know, as a goalkeeper, you know, and all goalkeepers, do you know what strong foot is? It was a poor shot, and we just didn't. It was just bad defending all round. I just didn't think it was great. So I'm kind of with Josh on that, but I see the other side. And if that Socrates issue doesn't happen, it doesn't result in a shot in the first place.
Chris, I want to keep on the Socrates thing now, because I've kind of held back on you and him from what I've seen recently. And before the Burnley game, I only saw half an hour of the Burnley game. Joe Cole brought him up before the match and showed him not, you know, going for silly challenges or not actually committing to the challenge properly. And it happened in the Burnley game. I thought he was bang average last weekend. And again, he does something daft here, yet he seems to get away with it scot-free with a lot of people. Okay. But this guy, he makes more mistakes on the pitch than any of our defenders have in the last couple of years. I include Mustafi in that. And yet seems to be Teflon with it. But surely it's about time, you know. I would have picked Socrates for this game on the back of his performances against Spurs last season. Okay, because I thought he was magnificent against Harry Kane home and away last season. But I've kind of had enough now. I just want him out of the team. What would be your response to that?
Anyone know?
Chris.
Me. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to disagree on that one. I don't think he's what you'd call elite level. I think he's comfortably top four level in terms of if you look around our.
He wouldn't get in any of the top six side.
No, so he wouldn't get in Man United or Chelsea's defence.
No, he wouldn't.
Don't think he'd get in ahead of Lindelof. Ahead of whoever. I mean, I don't even know who Chelsea have at the back. You wouldn't get in ahead of Christensen at Chelsea.
Well, Zuma and Tomori got in ahead of him yesterday, and that tells you everything you need to know. Yeah. Socrates is bad, but he's not Kurt Zuma.
I don't even think he's bad. I think the problem that Socrates has is, and we'll touch on his mate in a bit, who has the same problem. I do think that he's such an athletic and a presence on the pitch, and he wants to do too much, and he tries... Well, it's true. He charges around the pitch, and I do think that sometimes he tries to win balls that he can't win. And I think, and if you look back 5-6 years ago, we're all clamouring for a player who's aggressive and wants to win tackles, puts his foot in where it hurts, you know, leads from the front in terms of his tackling. And we've kind of got that. What we don't have, and I think with Socrates, the reason you need something like a Rob Holding alongside him is you need somebody who complements his game. And I don't think we've got that since Holding has gone sort of off with that injury. I don't think David Luiz is the right long-term partner in a two, if I'm honest.
I'd listen to that point, mate, again. I'd give it a bit more credence if he wasn't outstated massively in tackles and tackles won by Mustafi last season. Right, I've got a couple of shout-outs here. First of all, to Yvonne Okafor. And she says, granted out, birthday ruined, see you soon. Oh, Yvonne, chin up, we still love you. Thank you very much. Next, it's Stephen Edwards. And he piles in the $10 and he says, I don't mind Ellis at all. Don't say that in front of Carl, just don't. And then next, smashing in with 20 Canadian dollary dues or whatever they are. Are they still called dollary dues now that Dom's back in Australia?
I think they're now just back to Canadian dollars. I think dollary dues is only where Dom goes.
Okay. Sorry, Blair. And Blair Slater just says nothing because Blair Slater's an international man of mystery. And that's how he rolls. Right, sorry. I got slightly waylaid there. John, moving on from that, you see Kolasinac falling over on attack. Talk to me about Kolasinac, mate.
I think if we hadn't, the Nacho sale I get, but it was a weird timing. I don't understand why we did it when we did. I get that Kolasinac going forward has got a bit more pace and that's what he likes to do. I just think Nacho is a much more composed player. And yes, he has faded I think that's fair to say, in his last few years, and I think letting him go makes sense. But why not just keep him for this one game? You know, he could have gone tomorrow. The window doesn't close till then. It's a tiny fee. You know, even if he picked up an injury, he was still going to go. I don't really understand it. I think we're all, basically most Arsenal fans are at the moment like, Kieran Tierney, please hurry up and get fit and be available as soon as possible, because we just want to see someone else at left back. And it's not because Kolasinac is terrible. It's just that in terms of defending, it's just not good enough. At times, the positions he gets into when going forward are really, really good. And I thought his link-up play, especially in the first 10 minutes before we conceded with Aubameyang, was really good down that side. But he doesn't... It's so 50-50 on like whether it's going to be a decent ball. Is he going to drill it? Is he going to ping it back? And a couple of times he pulled out some really nice passes, but then other times he just completely wastes the opportunity, gives possession over too easily. And then he's, in terms of effort of getting back, he's so slow. And it is really disappointing. So, I don't know. Look, he's not a left-back. He's a left-wing-back. I don't think he's ever going to be a left-back. I don't mind him being in the squad. I think he's a decent option in some games. I think in the bigger games, he leaves a lot to be desired. So, yeah, the sooner Tierney's fit, you know, the better for me, to be honest. And I hope he starts like an absolute flyer.
Is he a left wing back now? I think he's just a left winger, Kolasinac, because he's just at least a left wing back. You know, gets up and down. He just gets up. I don't understand how he goes up and then continues to go up, even though he's not come back. That's just infuriating in that second half.
I got to be honest, I find it strange that we let Monreal go at all, and you know, at this long in time. You know, okay, so Tierney's due back in 2 weeks' time.
He's
back of an injury, brother. If he struggles on his comeback trail, we could be in real trouble here. And if that decision starts to cost us points, you know, it all looks a bit, oh, this is a bit dodgy. You know,
I would say with the decision for Nacho go, if Nacho had played today, he would have at least been in the right position, but he would have got roasted by Son. That's the only difference that we saw in this kind of game, is that Kolasinac and Son never really came up against each other because Kolasinac was never in the position for that to happen. Son just had a free reign down that right.
Can I just say I fucking hate his face. Sorry, carry on.
Son or Kolasinac?
I fucking hate his smug little face. Fucking hate it. Sorry, I had to get it off my chest. Sorry.
Do you know what? I do apologise, chat box. It's a bit of a private joke here. But whenever he touched the ball today, I used to think of what Steve used to call him, okay?
don't even go there. I did the same.
I was just thinking, oh, God, oh. You know, it was one of those. It was just like, uh-oh. Josh, to you on next. Ericsson smashes one, Leno saves it. Really good save from Leno. Then Leno has a great save from Son. He redeemed himself very quickly, Leno, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I say what I've said about him in the first goal doesn't make him an awful goalkeeper all round. You know, this is why he's such a good goalkeeper and why he's got that call up again to the German national team. So I think the rest of his game, he was superb. He commanded that box well, came out for the corners. I can't remember too many you know, corners against us where Spurs got ahead to it because Leno was so commanding. He just got out and caught it. So yeah, I think he did really well in that kind of in the rest of the half after that early issue with him.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing, isn't it? You know, to be fair to all of you guys, you will, you know, regardless if we disagree on a point or anything, it's credit where credit is due.
Unless it's Socrates with you, Jess.
Oh, hold up. I am going to give him a compliment later. Okay, so lay off. Chris, you're the Farmers League boy, aren't you? Oh,
fucking, there's two, everybody. Two references. We're gonna count them all together, jerk boys and girls. It'll be like Sesame Street.
Get your abacus out.
One.
Pepe. Header at the back post. A really athletic block by Danny Rose. Was that going in or was that coming back across goal?
Sorry. Don't give Danny Rose any credit, Jace. I can't have that on this show. Please, let's not do that. I think Pepe's me and Josh came to blows on this earlier on in the WhatsApp group. We didn't really. We just had a man hug and loved each other. But I think some people have already gone into that camp of all Pepe's all flash and no finish. And then other people are saying, oh, no, I can see there's a player in there. He's going to take a bit of time to adjust. And I felt like today, as at Anfield, there was a few little touches, a few little runs, a few little passes. You went, this is going to click. And I think what's going to do it is his first goal. In terms of a header, I mean, it's not his strong point, but the one thing is, he's a big lad. He does give us a bit more aerial presence in terms of attacking side. And I thought that the header was actually very clever. He pulled off at the back post quite cleverly. I think he was actually trying to head it back across goal. And then that fucking Waffle House face, Danny Rose, put his thunder cunting twat of a head in the way. But I can't. This might become a running theme, but I can't stand any of that lot. I can't. No. But it was average defending at best. But Pepe pulled off the man quite well. He finds space very well. That was one thing that I really, really like about him and liked about him when I first laid eyes on him. He's athletic. But he pulls into space and he creates that, professionals talk about that half yard. He finds that very, very well. And I do think we've got a real player in him. We may touch on his performance later on in the second half as well. But yeah, unfortunate that, because the movement was good. And on another day, that's one of those ones that sort of hits a defender and, you know, goes between the keeper's legs or squeezes in the near post. But I don't think there was much more he could have done. And the cross was good as well. I think it's Aubameyang. One of those.
It was. John, my next note is, how many free kicks do they have to give away before they get a yellow card and then Rose gets a yellow card at last? They got away with a lot of rotational fouling because it was quickly followed by Lamela. Did you think Atkinson was getting a grip of the game at that point, or what were you thinking?
I didn't mind him leaving it a little bit to get a yellow because it is a derby and it is so fired up. It looked like they were targeting Torreira. I just think it was a case of he's the smallest one in the midfield. So, you know, he's an easy target.
They're
not going
to target Collin, are they?
No, not going to pick him or Xhaka or whatever. Xhaka probably would have made more sense. But to be fair, I thought the referee actually had a fairly decent game. I don't think he pulled the card out too early or too easy on anyone. And let's be honest, if you look at the amount of fouls that Xhaka did, the fact he didn't get one until, what was it, the 91st minute or something for a yellow card is unbelievable. It was amazing.
I thought he was going to get red at that point. I thought he'd been booked earlier on, okay?
Yeah.
I've actually made a note of that. It was just unbelievable, wasn't it?
So I think it's one of those things where you get big derby games like this. You'll see it with referees who are quite experienced, and Atkinson is one of the better ones, where you'll see a Man United-Liverpool game or, you know, Chelsea-Spurs or whatever. It's always going to be a big sort of high energy, high tempo game. There's going to be a lot of aggression, some tackles and stuff falling in, some niggly fouls, that kind of stuff. And you have to, as a referee, kind of let it go a little bit and then just go, no, that's enough now. And he went very quickly into his book. And I think he booked like three players in the space of 10, 15 minutes for Spurs, something like that. I thought he had a generally, like, he controlled the game pretty well.
Okay. Josh. At this point, Tottenham on top of the game. The goal had given them a real lift. You see Leno spilling a cane shot but getting away with it. You see a save from Eriksen. Were you feeling nervy at this point?
Yeah, I mean, all of that kind of composure we'd had in the first, 7 minutes, it was like our game plan went out the window. And we were just all at sea, I think, for that run of play. And to be honest, it continued for the rest of the first half, I think, because I'm sure we're going to come onto it in a second with Mr. Xhaka. But in general, you kind of see it was looking a bit like the move to have that three in midfield was coming back to bite us. I don't think if we'd taken the lead, I think that three across the middle was fine. But because we'd kind of lost our heads a little bit, there's no player in that midfield yet that is experienced enough to kind of put their foot on the ball and kind of control the position. We saw it when Ceballos came on, that's kind of what we were missing in that midfield. And you can't necessarily legislate for that at the beginning of the game. If your game plan goes well, we don't concede that first goal. and the midfield three isn't a problem. But you could see at that point that we then needed someone like that. I think it's on Torreira and Guendouzi rather than Xhaka to be that player, because I think after this game, I would be surprised if not the entirety of the fan base has written him off.
Well, let's go straight to it, because we've got Grant Xhaka's number one fan here. Chris, talk to me about the penalty.
What do you want me to say? The man's an absolute fucking clown. I'm sorry. I can't put it any more bluntly than that. Look, you know me, Jace. You've known me for probably longer than you care to remember or care to admit. But I will defend and support managers, players, coaches, Gunnosauruses, groomers, whoever. I'll defend anyone associated with Arsenal for as long as I've got breath in my lungs. And I will say straight off the bat, I do not condone anyone who jumps on social media or on any platform and starts cutting him off or any of that. I'm not, you know, that's not what I'm getting at. But from a purely footballing point of view, can Granit Xhaka pass a football? Yeah. Is he brilliant at it? Absolutely. Is he very good at the skill set he has? Yeah. Is he a liability? Abso-fucking-lutely. I struggle to understand how that man is 26 years of age. I'm so angry, I can't even put my words right.
Nah.
Making a tackle that stupid. It is so naive. And do you know what? The thing that got me was I turned away the minute the ball broke because I knew what was coming. There wasn't a case of I thought, oh, we might just... No, you knew. As soon as that ball went loose, he's like a fucking Andrex puppy dog with a roll of toilet roll. He cannot leave it alone. He cannot stop from just going in fucking gung-ho. It's like that... It's just like that kid that just tears around the playground, just smashing into people, thinking, oh, it's good. You know, I'm not saying that there isn't a time and a place to make strategic fouls. Ironically, late on in the game, when he took the booking, it was exactly the right decision, 100%. But I'm sorry. And somebody should put in the chat there that I'm talking nonsense, which is probably completely fair. But he said it's all about blood and guts. No, it's not. The game has moved on. You cannot go into any level of football at the top level. I'm talking any game of football at the top level with players that do not have a brain. And I've heard it so many times that people defend him and say that, you know, well, that's his style of play. You know, that's, we need that sort of player. I've tried to defend it. I've tried to say, yeah, I can sort of see why he puts himself about. But he limits us so much. His mobility is so poor. His transition play is so poor. And I don't get it wrong. I get, and I'm sure John will pick up on this, his passing from deep areas is something we need to find. You know, I think maybe Ceballos can do that role. I'm not saying that his skill set is something we shouldn't play with. But, Jesus, we could find a better player than that. I mean, we've tried it. The experiment's there. And let's also not forget, he's a captain. He's a bloody captain. He's wearing the captain's armband, and you've got a player 4 or 5 years younger than him who tackles consistently better alongside him. And that's that sort of challenge is the style that he goes out there. That's the standard he sets against a team that we know are quite light on their feet, to say the bloody least. And you put yourself in that position. I can't defend it, mate. I can't defend it anymore. He's not good enough. He's not good enough to be played. If let me ask you a question, and I'll finish on this. If Granit Xhaka had signed for Everton, would you have raised an eyebrow and said, well, why are we not in for that player? I don't think you would have. That's the level he is for me, at best.
I find it... I'll come on to John in a second. Ron Reed puts in the box here. Gary Neville, when he was commentator, said all that experience, but he doesn't have any. When it comes to Gary Neville commenting on these things, okay, I remember that cunt kicking Spanish boy just passed away.
Reyes
off the park, and Mike Riley fucking allowing it, okay? He got a free pass because he's an England player and a United scum, right? Gary Neville is a cheeky bastard at the best of times. I do like his commentary, to be fair to him. But when you go and look money that fucker did on the pitch, okay? It's that game and that cunt in particular that led to Eduardo's broken leg, Abu Dhabi's broken leg, and Ramsey's broken leg. That fucking game you can pinpoint. So wherever any quotes Gary Neville to me, guys, just know he's a steaming pile of shit.
He's right, though, isn't he?
He did say he was impressed that Xhaka managed to put in, and it was, what, seven fouls without getting booked. Because, of course, that's how the 49th, the 50th game came out.
Easy money, that. Put a bet on that every game. Easy money.
John, we spoke about this last season where there were a couple of balls across the box, okay? And you in all fairness, you took the position of defending Granite. And I'm asking you, well, why did he never fucking learn? Why does he never, ever learn? He's clearly in the box. He goes off his feet. There's no way this isn't going to be a penalty.
It's stupid. And I think the worst thing about it is that halfway through the tackle, he realises what he's done because he almost tries to pull out of it a little bit and pull his legs away. Because I think he thinks the touch... who was it on? Was it Ericsson? I can't even fucking remember now. Yeah, one of the cheats it was. Their touch is too heavy, and I think he thinks he can just like slide in, clear it out, and then he realizes halfway through, oh no, this is going to go horribly wrong, and he knows he's committed a foul before he's even made contact. The problem with Xhaka, like Chris has highlighted there, his mobility, he does have these brain fart moments, and the issue with him is, and it's always been this, and it was the same when he was at Gladbach, it's been the same since he's been at Arsenal. He's a decent player. I don't think he's like top tier, whatever midfield, you know, whatever, whether you're going to call him elite or fucking world-class or whatever, you know, stupid term you use. But he needs to have certain midfielders around him. That's why I thought today would work, because he had two runners who will do all the running for him, because Guendouzi, I thought was, we'll talk about later, but I thought he's excellent today. You've got Torreira who can run all day for you. And all you need to do is, okay, you've got three guys up front who can all run, who can all hold the ball up, and you can all take on a man individually, and you've got a man in Xhaka who can pass the ball and spray it about all over the park perfectly. He's got a wand of a foot for passing. It's fantastic. Some of the passes he did today were absolutely brilliant, but he has those moments in him. So if you're going to put him in the team, you have to... It's kind of like the Ozil thing, where you have to build everything around him, in a sense. And I think in these big games, he's liable to make a mistake. It's different if you're playing a Burnley or a, you know, a Southampton or someone like that. You can almost kind of get away with it a little bit and you don't have to base your whole team around him as much. But when he's in the team, I do think you need to have very disciplined midfielders who will do all those other bits for him so he can just ping and sort of pass the ball around. It doesn't mean you're not going to get these mistakes still, though. They're going to happen. If we had a different midfielder today, would they have not got a penalty? Yeah, maybe. You know, I don't know. They're good enough at falling over that they probably would have got gifted one, to be fair. But it's a stupid mistake. And it's a shame because I thought, actually, for the majority of the game, other than that idiotic moment and some of the free kicks he gave away, I actually thought he had a good game. And like Chris said, he made sensible fouls in the second half, like clever ones, tactical. And he got away with enough before he got booked as well. You know, he knew he was sort of riding on the edge a little bit. He kind of tried to wind a few Tottenham players up and get reactions and stuff like that. So he's got those smarts in him. It's just that one moment of, you know, stupidness. Like Socrates did it today. We've seen Mustafi do it. Unfortunately, it's kind of a feature of our players. There's a lot of players in our team that have this one little moment where they can just, oh, no, it's gone wrong. The problem is, because of where Xhaka plays and a position in particular that Emery plays him, it's going to cause us more problems than if it's, say, you know, a forward.
Yeah. Okay.
He'll always front up. You know, I'll say that for the guy. You know, he's, and I think that's why he's a captain. Off the pitch, he's clearly a leader. He's clearly a very vocal presence
as well. I think if you look at that second half, a lot of the good things we did started with him, and whether it was balls into Pepe or out wide to Aubameyang, you know, stuff like that. And that's why it frustrates me, because I see all the good things he does, and I think if you've gone to the point as a fan, and I know because I've done this with players as well. I did it in the past with Joel Campbell, and I've done it with Ozil. If you've gotten to the point where you've just given up on a player, you just kind of ignore all the other stuff he does. And even if it is really good and he makes an amazing pass, just like you just sort of write off as, well, that's one in what, 10 games. When actually he does it quite consistently, and generally he actually is one of the better performers on the pitch most games. But because of that one big error, and it's such a clangor, and it leads to them getting a goal, that's all you're going to focus on, and you just ignore the rest of the stuff he brings to the team. That if we could get an upgrade on him, absolutely. But I think also the issue today was, like, Torreira's performance, I actually thought he was probably our worst midfielder today, and I'm not surprised he got taken off. Yeah. I don't understand why Emery's playing him where he is. Just let the boy do what he does and sweep in front of the back four. Let him do that. Play Xhaka slightly off to the right or slightly off to the left, you know, or a little bit in front of him, and just let Torreira get the ball, win it back in front of the centre-backs, and then give it to Xhaka and let him do the passing.
Sorry, guys. Let's end the Xhaka thing there, because others are just going to take over the pod, and it's not about Grand Xhaka. Sahar Ibrahim comes in with a £5 donation, and he says, we need to change our formation. Our full backs attack and have no cover. 3-5-2 or 3-4-3. Well, we'll have a look at that later, mate. It's an interesting topic at the moment. Josh, you then get a Pepe shot saved by Lloris. Then we have a corner, I think it was, from that. Was it a corner? I can't remember. But Rose kind of, it looks as if Rose handles in the box. Ball spills out. Tottenham are under pressure. They can't clear the ball. We win the ball back. It comes out to Lacazette. Right, then left, then bang. And we're back in the game. Whoa, how relieved were you at this point?
I don't understand how to describe that goal. I don't really understand kind of what happened, because it was so quick. It was just amazing to see what happened with it. But it was one of those, with the Danny Rose situation, I didn't really see it. They didn't show another replay after it happened, which is normally a good sign that it was a handball, generally, is what I've found, especially when a Spurs player does it. You know, if we'd done it, or that would have been on every camera, on every screen, up and down the country. But no, it wasn't shown. But yeah, I think it's a layoff from Pepe. So he has got his first assists for us. And then it was like, you know, angry Giroud. You know when we used to drop Giroud and then he'd come off? And he was just so angry with just the injustice of not starting. It was like that. Laka just took this kind of, got possessed by injustice and just swatted it into the back of the net. And yeah, it was what we needed at that time. And I thought it was perfect, just the kind of response that he had as well, because Aubameyang was ready to come up and do their little handshake. And he's like, nah, mate, this is all about the injustice. Grab the ball. Let's get back up the pitch. And yeah, we'll reset, because it was needed just before half time as well. And I believe from our man in the crowd, Ellis, when Lacazette made that celebration, he just mouthed the words, fuck Kyle.
Mm. Which is fair, ultimately.
No comment. I can't not go to you next, can I, Chris?
I can't. Really could,
I felt like going to John then and totally ignoring you on the... But bearing in mind, you have the biggest man crush on this guy ever. Talk me.
He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. I still occasionally, if I get bored or if I'm having a mega poo, I do occasionally scroll through my Twitter feed for about a year and a half ago and laugh at people going, yeah, he's not good enough for Arsenal. He's not first team. And when we signed him and people messaging me going, oh yeah, Farmers League, all this bollocks. One of them was called Jason. But yeah, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. And the thing I love about Laka is that he's one of those footballers that gets rewarded with the work he puts in. That boy works his ass off, and he doesn't just work his ass off for his own game. He works his ass off for his teammates. He's a very likable fella in and around the dressing room. He's a personality, but he has worked his bollocks off to get where he is. He's overlooked by France on a regular basis. You know, he stayed at Lyon probably longer than I think he would have thought he would have in terms of his career progression. And we're very lucky to have him, like very, very lucky to have him. And he doesn't often get enough credit for the sort of goals he scores. That's not the first goal he scored like that. His quick feet. I remember the goal at Cardiff. He got the one at Chelsea, yeah. The quick feet against Liverpool last year. He's got unreal close control in the box. And he is that. He's the one player that the sort of, I think Lana used the quote, he just goes ice cold when he finishes. And yeah, of course, he'll miss a few. You know, he'll have his moments like any striker. but he in front of goal with sort of 15 to 20 yards in front of him, I'd back him to hit the target and score 9 times out of 10. And that goal was just fantastic. And if you watch, I think it's Vertonghen's eyes as Laka takes that second touch, you can see his soul leave his body going, I'm fucked here. I'm fucked. And the finish itself was brilliant because he put it in the one place that Lloris couldn't get to it. And that was basically straight through Lloris. There's no thought behind that, as in terms of, well, I'll place it in the corner. He knows that from that distance out, if you hit it as hard as you possibly can, a goalkeeper is not going to save it. Or at the very least, you're going to knock the keeper into the net with it. So it was a brilliant finish, but the movement was fantastic. It came at such an important time. And it was a shame for him and for us that he had to leave the pitch. I saw a few people saying, oh, you know, why did he get taken off? And there was a bit of booing in the crowd.
We'll come to that later, mate. We'll come to that later.
Yeah, that was a shame. But the goal was brilliant. And yeah. that's what he gives you. He gives you that ability to finish in close spaces. Burnley's the other goal, isn't it, this season? His control, his technique, his touch, fantastic.
John, it was fabulous. It was a fabulous finish from him. Lovely, sparkling feet, and just what we needed at that point in the game. Because if we'd have gone in 2-0 down, I think it could have been a different story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guys have described it brilliantly. I think there's some pigeons or something like roosting above my window out there, and like the noise I made, I just saw one of them fall. I think he just committed suicide. I scared him to death. Just shot, completely plummeted.
Oh, don't damn him, get upset.
Well, look, we can't go a podcast without mentioning a pigeon in some way or another. But honestly, the only way to describe that goal is it's better than sex. Honestly, it's just amazing. It was magic.
If you guys knew how much John likes sex, okay, you know? I mean, it is absolutely, you know, he's at a different level. He's like, who's the guy Catherine Zeta-Jones is, Michael Douglas, sex addict, you know? So that's how highly this boy rates it.
But yeah, honestly, it was, oh.
I thought you were going to go David Duchovny there. He was the famous sex addict.
It was just that first touch, and then the little flick around him, and the way he hits the ball as well, just everything about him. And he is like just ice cold, and yeah, he's like the king of cool, just everything about him. And that's the thing I really do love about him is his work rate. I mean, before he came off, he's already signalled that he's got like a, I don't know whether it is a five. Yeah,
we'll leave that to the end. We'll come to that later. Right. Okay. Chat box. How the devil are you? How are we? It's half time in the game. It's half time in the show. You know what time it is. There's about 400 of you in there at the moment. You're all enjoying the free content, aren't you? Yes, you are. You're all just sitting there, chirping in, you know, typing away, having a little argument with each other. Yep. Be like Aaron Ramsey. Deliver. Start fucking tapping that like button, you shameless bunch of fucks. I'm really, 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 I've had enough of this. I've only got 83 likes and there's 400 of you there. Come on, get going. Be like Aaron, tap the fucking like button, but, you know, come on, get on with it.
Never do that again, Jason. Ever.
But I'm trying to make a point here again, you know? If their parents knew that they were in this bloody chat box and not tapping that like button, they'd be ashamed of them. They would be right now, you know, let's rip up the will. I always preferred your sister or your other brother anyway. Yeah, because they tap the like button. But no. You're like Danny fucking Rose. You come in, you want it all, but you don't fucking deliver. I just don't get it. Who do you think you are? Don't mess about. Come on. I expect 150 toot sweet, because otherwise, okay, I'm going to inflict Ellis Mel on you all. Really?
Really? That.
You know, and Ellis, well, you know, he'll be here and he'll make your life hell. I'm telling you now. Come on. Don't let your parents down, okay? Your grandparents went through hell to give you a life in this world. And right about now, they're turning in their graves because they're thinking, oh, the fuckers don't even know where the like button is. They don't tap it for them. These boys, you know, they put all this effort in to free content. You know, we don't get money like Gary Neville. No. All except Josh.
a reason for that.
Yeah, to be fair, there's a very good reason for that. Yeah, come on, let's start up that leg. But 100, come on, get on with it. Right, second half, Josh. We come up the blocks again. Lloris saves from a Lacazette header. Then you get Lloris fuck up and Aubameyang mishits it. Or, you know, we were coming out for them, weren't we?
We were. We looked like that side that it was almost like we needed half time. It was a bit weird, you know, 2-0 down, but obviously then getting the goal and going in 2-1. You'd kind of think we want to continue playing, but that break and play, well, natural break and play really helped us out, I think, because, yeah, we looked like the team that was going to go out and win this. The same kind of team that we saw last year at the Emirates and turned around a 2-1 deficit at halftime to go on and win the game. And the way that we just attacked them, you could see that we'd finally rattled or got to Davinson Sanchez and that kind of makeshift right back that had playing there. And the yellow card for Danny Rose certainly helped us as well on the other side to really pin them back and just attack them. It was a shame that, you know, you've got the kind of players and he frustrated me all game. And it'll go on to, I'm sure we'll go on to it when we go to his bigger performance on Pepe. But yeah, he frustrated me in kind of his rawness. It's that kind of side that now you're paying £80 million for a player who's still up and coming. He's not a finished article. I know it's only a couple of games in, but there was some decision making and it just kind of frustrated me because they were there for the taking in the first 10 minutes of that half. We could have put that game to bed.
I agree with you, but I just don't think it's him. I think there's a lot of people who made some poor decisions, you know, at certain points. Chris, a particular question for you here now. You see Rose push Pepe into dead ball, okay? You know, he's not making any effort for the ball, okay, to an attempt to play the ball. He's clearly backing into him. And I don't get how do people get away with this? If you're not attempting to play the ball, why should you be touching another player?
I don't know. I, to be honest, mate, having watched the start of the season and having watched the I think there was a game, a decision in the Villa game yesterday. There was one certainly in the Leicester game that I watched. I don't think we have got the gist of this VAR thing in this country yet. I don't think we as fans don't really know what's going on. We've got laws changing all over the place and nobody really knows anymore. You know, football is a contact sport. It always has been. But if you're going to change that rule and you're going to say no, if, as you rightly said there, if the ball's not being played, part of the aesthetic of football is always like the dark arts in, like, you know, you shove a player off the ball slightly just to knock them off balance. You move players around, you know, a sly elbow, a sly dig. Not like it was in the 80s, you know, kicking people up in the air and going through people, but it's always been a part of the game, just like it is in rugby, just like less so probably in cricket, so less contact. But those kind of sports, you get those small tactical edges. But yeah, I'm seeing things given for, like, you know, a fraction of a toe offside and a handball where the ball, like the Man City one, where it's come off. And guess who that goal was chalked off against? Funny that. You know, it seems like certain decisions just can't be explained. And I don't really get, as you said, if he's not playing the ball, I don't really know how that's what the justification is to let it go. And I think the only way you are going to stamp it out, I know we'll come on to that cheating trollop up front for them, but these things are being caught on video. They're being analysed to death by pundits far better than us, paid far more, I might add, and yet nothing is done retrospectively. So we're bringing in these VAR things for in-game action, and yet post-game nothing's being done. So if players, it's only natural that players are going to think, oh, actually this VAR ain't so bad, we can still get away with certain things, we'll carry on doing it. Man City are the kings of it, the tactical foul. Those fouls are being let go because they're not in the penalty area or because they're not two-footed challenges. VAR is nothing to do with them. It's only those ones that are game-changing decisions. Well, I would argue that a pull in the penalty area, a crucial part of a game when the score is 2-1 or 2-2, is just as crucial as a last minute penalty or a last minute goal chalked off offside. So I just don't think that anyone in this country really understands the rule. I think Bundesliga and Serie A and Liga are miles ahead of us in terms of using the technology the right way. And until that changes, I don't think any of us are really going to be able to answer the question as to how players get away with certain things that they do in the games. I don't get it.
I mean, it's like the Salah one that we got, right? That went against us. There are a number of tackles that happened, or, you know, pullings of shirts that occurred in the game today. I would have thought, well, if we're conceding a penalty like that, why are we not getting one? Because it's the lack of consistency.
If you go back to last week's game, you know, I've no qualms with the Luis penalty. He pulled Salah back. But you saw Van Dijk pull Pepe, nothing given.
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly the same offence. Now, it doesn't matter who's running away from goal or whatever. It's a pull of the shirt in the penalty box. And that winds me up. Jim Housen smashes in with a donation and he says Pepe played like his girlfriend was watching. Ooh, nice. John, Lloris had a great save from Guendouzi. I mean, Guendouzi pulled out. We'll come on to talk about Guendouzi later, so I don't want to wax too lyrical about him now. But he pulled out a fantastic shot, and it was a great save from him.
Yeah, it was a really good save from Lloris, and he had to pull off a couple, particularly in the second half. Obviously, we talk about Guendouzi in a bit, but the shot was great. His run was perfect. The movement into the box. The whole build-up play as well was really nice. It's probably the best move we strung together in the whole game, I thought. It was a real shame that it didn't end up in a goal. But yeah, everyone did everything perfect then. And that was like, that's sort of like watching peak Arsenal when we're all at full flow and everyone's clicking. And at that point, I just thought, the fact that Lloris made the save, I just thought, okay, it's not a case of when we score. If we score, it's going to be when we score and just how many. Because we just had them completely on the ropes. They were in absolute bits at that point.
Absolutely. Josh, you then saw Kolasinac put wide a ball from a Lacazette header when Aubameyang's coming to the back post. Bit of a miscommunication there?
I mean, that's Kolasinac all over, isn't he? Completely unaware of his surroundings. He had other opportunities in that second half, even like defensively, when he's stepping up rather than should be stepping back to go and cover maybe the position he's leaving wide open behind him. But I have no issue with him going for it at all. I think Aubameyang might regret shouting at him, shall we say. I suspect he might be up against the dressing room wall after the game for daring to question Kolasinac, but it was so frustrating that he didn't get on the end of it, but that's fair.
It was annoying. Chris, then you see, Kane absolutely skinned Sokratis. And I was a bit surprised at this because Sokratis was really good at this man-on-man against Kane last season. And he hits the inside of the post. The ball thankfully comes back out. Heart in mouth time.
Yeah. He's still a giant lumbering twat, Kane. So don't expect me to give him any credit for getting that shot away. I'm the worst person for these shows, aren't I? Because I could never do this for a living. Because somebody would ask me a professional question, I'd be like, yeah, he's a twat, whatever.
This is what the show's all about.
Well, yeah, true. No, I mean, you know, he's all right. He scores a few goals. He's bang average. But, you know, he's just, let's be honest, Harry Kane's an overrated Alan Smith, isn't he? Let's be honest. But, yeah, I mean, he got the shot away. The concern, I suppose, like you'd say, is how he rolled to Kratos. I think the only thing you would say is Kane basically has done nothing for the entire 90 minutes before that other than take a penalty, so he's probably more fresh than Sokratis is at that position. Again, it is something we have to be a bit wary of in terms of how we defend those close quarters, because the modern game is that close control in the box. We saw it at Lacazette's goal. You have to be tight enough to get a block in, but you can't be too tight that you allow somebody to roll. And, you know, I was going to say credit where credit's due. No, I'm not going to say that. It was an all right shot. I'm glad it didn't go in. He's a monumental fucktard.
Nice. John, Torreira is replaced by Ceballos. And Ceballos makes an instant impact. He gets away a fantastic shot early doors. Good save from Lloris again. It was all us at this point, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had total control of the game up to that point anyway. The one thing we were missing was having the sort of link between the midfield and the front three. Xhaka was pinging the balls wide and using the width really well and hitting fullbacks and hitting Pepe and Aubameyang, who were making good space. But we just needed someone in the middle to do that. And Ceballos was the right man to come on. Again, looked more like he did in the Burnley game than, say, the Liverpool one. Was straight into it, was quite happy to get stuck into a tackle as well. But yeah, he's just got great feet. He's very calm on the ball. He'll take the ball under pressure. He'll turn a player. The shot he got off was brilliant. You know, I thought he's having a shot already. It's a little bit early for that. You know, he's trying to come on and make a name for himself. But he, in those two games, in today and the Burnley game, he's looked fantastic. Liverpool game, not so much. So, I mean, the jury's still out on him. I think against Liverpool, it's a lot harder. This, to be fair, Liverpool and City are the two clearly best teams in the league right now. So maybe it is a little bit too much for him. But he looks... That's the midfield at the moment that I'm looking at and thinking, okay, well, how do you get Ceballos, Guendouzi? Who's the third one that plays? Is it Torreira? Is it Guendouzi? Are you doing some other sort of thing where you're going to three at the back again and then you're playing a slightly different system? But those two at the moment are the ones who I'd want to see playing consistently in the midfield, just because he looks great in the ball and he just makes things happen as well. You can see the forwards are well around him. They came even more into the game because they knew that if they made different little runs than they were making before, he was going to find them with a pass.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Josh, Lacazette signals he has to come off. The crowd booed the substitution of Mkhitaryan on for Lacazette, but Laka was the one who instigated it. It was a shame. He played really, really well. At this point, he was my sort of man of the match when he went off. But, you know, we missed him as soon as he went, didn't we?
Yeah, I agree that, that he was our man of the match up until that point. And, yeah, I think if the crowd had seen the signal that he was making, and maybe they did, they were maybe just booing the fact that we were bringing Mkhitaryan on rather than Lacazette coming off. Because, my God, when he came on, I would have rather just taken Lacazette off. It was a bit like I would have thought about Granit Xhaka in the first half. I'd have just taken him off and not replaced him because we would have been better off. But, yeah, in terms of what we saw from Lacazette today and the way he was bringing people in, I think one positive of the move of him coming off was seeing Aubameyang go into centre-forward position. And if we'd had, you know, hindsight is 2020. Maybe Reece Nelson comes on instead to really drive at Sanchez and Sissoko. I think that could have been another option that we went with. That was one of the things that kind of, I would say, slightly frustrated me, is that we brought, you know, we brought these two new guys in from the youth academy, and we didn't get them playing in the North London Derby in Nelson and Willock. Neither of them featured. I don't know, maybe that's just a small thing about it. But I did think it was kind of weird that we had both these players who have done really well, but neither of them featured in a North London Derby. And you thought of, you've got that kind of thing, you always say, you know, form goes out the window in a North London Derby. It's all about understanding the occasion. And I thought at that point, maybe one of those two would have featured in the game.
That's a fair comment, especially Willock with his driving play. You know, the boy can carry the ball. Chris, I've saved this one for you, mate. What a ball from Matteo Guendouzi. What a ball, and what a finish from Aubameyang. The scores are level. It was fantastic. Talk to me.
Yeah, brilliant. For me, Guendouzi was the best player on the pitch for me. And sort of putting all bias or allegiance aside, I think he's fast becoming a player that needs to stay in that team every week. And I'm not sure anyone would have said that when we picked him up. He's a player that for me is maturing every time he goes onto the pitch, in the way he plays the game. In his positional play, he takes a lot of responsibility. People think that holding midfield role is a role where you've just got a simple job, break up the play. There's a lot more to it than that. You know, he's a good carrier of the ball. He transitions the play very well. He's formed quite a good partnership with Willock in those opening two games, which I like. That's the sort of the youth, the enthusiasm. Obviously, we've touched on Xhaka, but he offers us a very different style to Xhaka. And he's very, very quickly become a key part of what we're trying to do in the midfield. Our very own OG has just put in the chat there, and he's spot on. He never hides. You know, he always wants to receive the ball. He always wants to drive the team forward. I know it's a trivial thing, and you know, it's all about passion. That's P-A-S-H-U-N, of course. But he's one of us. You know, you can tell that he is Gunnar, as Andrea Sharvin would say. He's one of those players that you can just tell that every single time he goes on that pitch, he wants to win and he would bleed for the club. And you can't have too many of them. And in a modern sort of society where you can't always rely on players like that, it's great to have. And I think what you saw today was the ability that the lad does have. Not just that pass, but also the shot that in fairness, Huge Lloris did well to put his beer down and tip behind for a corner. And or was it wine? I don't know. I forget these things. But that was a very good shot as well. And he made that space for himself. He is a bit more than just an engine. He's a bit more than just a water carrier. He's got a lot more to his game. And I think the older he gets, the more mature he gets, the more that you'll start to see him being given that license to create. And that pass was brilliant. I think they said again in the commentary, the pass wasn't on. There was no way that pass was on, but he made it on. And great credit to Aubameyang, whose movement was superb to get into that position, because that was the only type of finish that he could put in that position. But yeah, he will be assuming somebody doesn't take him off our hands, because we will get offers for him in the next year or so, I think. He will be a key part of this midfield moving forwards. And great credit to the lad. He came in as a nobody, let's be honest, unless you were like me and just happened to follow the team he was at. But
okay, don't get all hipsterish on me now.
He was a nobody. You know, he was a bit of a gamble. And other players who were touted around have not signed for us and gone other places and not done things that he's doing. Fair play to the lad. He's stepping up, and let's hope more follow that example, because the more younger, energetic players with a future in that team, for me, the better.
Josh, John. The goal gives a massive lift. You know, it was a great bit of interplay from the two involved. You then see Xhaka smashing a long-range effort. Lloris has to make a big save again. We were applying all the pressure. You had Pepe shoot wide from a corner. And then you had the Sokratis goal. Kolasinac offside. Oh, God. You just thought, was that the chance? Was that the chance?
I mean, I was disappointed. I was screaming my head off when the goal went in. The fact it was Sokratis was hilarious. But I love the little routine as well, because I can't remember if it was a free kick or a corner now. I think it was a free kick. But just the little routine they did, it's obviously something that works on the training ground, which is something we've seen since Emery's been at the club, like corners, free kicks, all these sort of things coming up. And just times his run, it's just slightly off. It's very frustrating, but it would have been a lovely goal. But I was still confident at that point that we would score. I still thought we'd get a goal, because they had nothing in the game. They were all just sitting on the edge of their box. They couldn't get out. They couldn't get the ball up to Kane. Every time the ball was going forwards from them, it was a loose ball, and Guendouzi was the first one. He'd intercept it, win it back, and again, straight immediately bring it forward again and apply the pressure. So I just thought it was a matter of time until we got that third goal.
Yeah. The question's been asked was, who was the reason behind Guendouzi's signing? Arsblog said, mentioned a few weeks ago, that was a Mislintat Tat signing. It wasn't an Emery signing. It wasn't anybody else. That was Mislintat. Mislintat identified Torreira, Guendouzi, and all those guys. So, you know, this credit was due to him. Marcus Hodges smashes into the $5 donation and he says, thank you guys. Great job as always. Marcus, you're far, far, far too kind. Josh, Ceballos with a rugby tackle on Ali in the box. How the fuck did we get away with that?
Because of Dele Alli, and it wasn't a rugby tackle. I thought it was 6-1 and half a dozen of the other, to be honest. Maybe that's Arsenal bias, but this is an Arsenal podcast. If you want to hear an unbiased view, watch something else.
Fair enough. Chris, Davison Sanchez, whose legs had gone, absolutely screws up a ball. It comes down to Mkhitaryan. And don't get me wrong, the ball's spinning in the air. It's not the easiest thing to control at times, but Mkhitaryan absolutely botches it. It summed up his game, didn't it?
Yeah, he's struggling. He's struggling at the moment. He's another one that I like to try and defend because, much like a few sort of people on this pod and probably watchers now, I remember the player at Dortmund and I know that player's still in there. It's almost got a little bit of a... It's ironic that on the week that Alexis Sanchez went off to Inter and we got the other player the opposite way, it's almost like their two careers have transitioned into what each have become. But I do believe there's a player there. I think the one thing Mkhitaryan is he's an arm-round type of player, and that's not Emery's sort of greatest strength. He likes to coach a team, not an individual. And I do feel like Mkhitaryan is a player and he's an arm-round him. But, yeah, I didn't think he influenced the game. I wonder about that substitution. I wonder if we'd have had a mentally right and proper Mesut Ozil, would he have been a better option? Equally, we could have brought Mesut on and lost 4-2. So it's, you know, who knows? But it was a game that was crying out for something. I did think Ceballos just on that really, really was good when he came on. I thought he played very, very well. Looked like a man who wanted to start that game. So fair play to him. But yeah, Mkhitaryan, he did have a bit of a mare. And there were one or two, there was one right at the end as well where he was trying to get it onto his right foot after the ball broke to him. And it might be the same one you're referring to, actually. But he just never looked set. And he looks like a man who just needs to find his touch again. I think maybe the Europa League might be ideal for him this year because that might give him the game time he needs against some, you know, no disrespect, some lesser opposition, where he can find the form that we know he's capable of. But yeah, he's struggling at the moment and he rightly wasn't in the team to start with. And unfortunately, yeah, he didn't change the game as Ceballos did today, unfortunately.
Someone needs to put an arm around him and throw him straight out the fucking door.
Well, Klopp said about him, I've never seen known a guy who needs an arm around him so much.
It's true.
You know, send him to Liverpool. He can fuck right off. Honestly, I'm done with the bloke. I've had enough. Fucking waste of space.
John Atkinson absolutely bottled sending Harry Winks off. Sokratis going down the right-hand side in a hell of a run. He gets forced out. That's fine. But, you know, you get Winks grabbing him by the neck, trying to pull him off the ball. You're not allowed to do that. Sokratis gets booked for the altercation afterwards. Yet fucking Winks, you know, how does he get away with that? How?
I think it's because he's already been booked. It's that simple.
You can't book one man and not the fucking other in that situation. You just can't.
At times as a referee, and people won't like this, and this is not, you know, me trying to be nice to Tottenham in any way whatsoever, but there are times as a referee when you look at something and two players are wrestling and you're going, well, what a load of handbags that is. It's a complete load of nonsense. Neither of them is actually trying to punch each other. They're just trying to get each other sent off. One of them's already on a yellow card. You book the other one. They're both on yellows. You have a stern talking to both of them and then you tell them to go away. If either of them commits a foul again, then you send them off. Because if you send Winks off at that situation and you give Sokratis a yellow card, then it just turns into absolute carnage. Now, that might have benefited us, possibly, but the referee, all he wants to do is try and keep 11 players on the pitch and keep it a fair game and keep the flame, the game going and the tempo of the game and everything else. And I know people won't like it, but I actually think he did the right thing.
Okay. Here's a question.
Sorry, bear me a second. Danny's just put in the box the link to the Pirates draw. Now, we're supporting the Pirates again this season. If you want to be in with a chance of winning a She-War clock, a She-War watch, or a Pirates matchday shirt, click on the link. It's only £5 to enter. There's some cracking prizes. If I win it, no fuckers having my prize. I'm not putting it back in. I'm keeping it. So there you go. Okay. Josh, let's end it now. With the last part of the game, Kane clearly diving in the box, forcing himself into Sokratis. Sokratis has done quite really, really well in that situation as far as I'm concerned. The referee gives us a free kick, but no yellow card. I mean, you'd seen Ali dive, you'd seen Son go over easily. they got away with a bit of blue murder there, didn't they?
Yeah, Kane had done it a couple of times. I think there was one of the seven fouls that Xhaka gave away was a Kane foul, Kane dive, sorry. And yeah, I think Socrates did absolutely superb not to just stand on the cunt's head as he was on the floor, because that's what I would have done. And I would have definitely given away a penalty. But at least he wouldn't have been able to take it. So there's always an upside to that. But yeah, I don't understand why that's not a yellow. There's a couple of things. You would have thought, you know, Thunderbird 5 would have called in and said, you know, that's a dive, book him to Michael Atkinson or Martin Atkinson. But no, nothing came through. So it's one of those things that I think maybe it's because he's England captain, or maybe it's because he doesn't understand the concept of yellow, so they can't give him a card. I don't know. But I don't understand why you wouldn't give him a yellow card for diving there.
In all fairness, Josh, okay, Danny Rose, Lamella, Eric Dyer, Kane, Dele Alli, they all have a face which deserves to be used as a trumpet.
Do even their fans like them? I mean, they are just the most deplorable bunch of fucks, aren't they, that team? You just listed off a list of them there. Harry Winks, when he goes over, question, does he fall sideways? Because that's all the fucker can play, sideways. Honestly. Sissoko, is that guy really a footballer? Fuck me. Even the commentators are taking the piss out of him in the end. They are just a deplorable bunch of fuckwits, aren't they?
The upside is that of the house of cards that it is slowly getting taken underneath from Pochettino as they're selling left, right and centre. I expect half that team to be gone by the end of the end of Monday.
The one thing I'd say is, if as a player you're at Spurs, you're Kane or Ali or whatever, you've dived season after season, winning penalty, free kicks and everything, and you keep giving them, you're just going to keep doing it, aren't you?
Yeah, Kane's perfected that run into someone fall sideways.
You know,
the little flick of the heels that
pick them up. Stan Collymore today, who is one of the few pundits, sort of big name ones, who called Kane out again, saying, look what he's done. He's not going to the ball. He's running across the player intentionally to get contact so he can go down and try and win a penalty. It's a dive.
It's 2 and 2 weeks identical, okay? And no yellow card. That cunt deserves a ban.
You had the same with Son as well. He came into the box. But
the problem that the refs have got at the moment is that the referees, after the cock-up yesterday at the West Ham game, and the whole thing that we are the only league in the world that doesn't have the same VAR rules that the IFAB have actually set out for every single other league who follow it properly.
Because we have to be different.
Yeah, we've got to be different because, you know, that idiot.
We're English.
It's ridiculous, but because of that, they're trying to cover their ass with that at the same time, so they can't possibly highlight another error that they've made that's related to a separate thing, and it also would then go, well, hang on a minute, why is VAR not picking that up as well? This is the problem with why I don't dislike VAR. I think it's fine. I don't have a problem with it at all. The problem people have to understand is that when it's a clear thing like the Kolasinac one where it was offside, and to be fair, the linesman spotted it and it wasn't VAR, VAR showed afterwards that it was offside. That's fine because it's a clear subject. It's completely obvious. It's just a factual thing. It's not opinion based. The problem with diving or who's made contact first, or if there's wrestling in the box, who initiates it, who pulls who down, that's an opinion because one person will say it's, you know, Socrates, another one will say it's Dele Alli. Opinion based ones just should be taken completely out of VAR's hand, and you have to still leave it to the referee. You might still not get the right outcome, but there is no point letting VAR look at those sort of things because, again, it's just going to be one person's opinion.
Okay. Right, Mike Hernandez smashes in the donation and he says, the pirate for president 2020.
No, nobody wants that.
Mike, wait for a second. Chris, how do the pirates get on today?
Don't ask, Chase.
Okay, mate. Okay.
Poor performance.
Marcus Hodges asks, question, explain throwing handbags to an American. It's all this. I'm waving my hands in the air, Marcus. If you're gonna twat somebody, you twat them, okay? Don't fuck about. Put one on them. Okay?
The easy way to explain it, Marcus, is if you remember when you're at school and you'd have two blokes and they're about to start a fight, but neither of them would throw a punch. They'd just push each other back and forth and say, come on then, come on then. And they'd give it the big one, but as they're doing it, they're stepping away.
Yeah.
They're mouthing off.
It's basically all Premier League footballers in the modern era.
It's handbag stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, having a go at Dan James. Well, 3 goals, 15 million quid.
Massive cheat.
Hey, fuck. You get away with it, didn't you? You get away with it. That's
he's
three goals for it.
Welsh. He's coming over here, diving on our pitches.
I told you, 15 million quid. Bargain, bargain. Right, let's get on with it. Questions. Chris, are you staying here for questions or are you buggering off now?
I can do 5 minutes and then I need to go and write.
Well, just stay your fucking door because this is going to the end. If you're staying here, stay.
Well, I'll do a couple of questions and then I'll gracefully exit then.
Okay, first one for you then. From Gregor93, is Pepe the new Jovino?
No.
Okay, John, Omar's asks, what does Xhaka do on the pitch to be captain every game?
Despite the terrible tackle, he does actually show some leadership. I think Guendouzi, if he continues to perform this way, could be someone who maybe is a future captain. But the difference is Jack has got the experience and Emery just likes having different available captains, doesn't he? I don't think in this team we don't have a clear leader that is the issue.
I think the correct answer, John, is he two-foots everybody in the queue and then he's there to get the band at the beginning of the game.
He does also, you know, release the ball quicker than most of our midfielders and has one of the best pass completions and tackles and interception rates. But, you know, let's not look at stats or anything.
Yeah. Well, I've got to be honest with you. I wonder how that midfielder performed without him today. Because
that's a fair point.
You know, because I don't think it would. But there we go. Josh, Junior Gunner asks, don't want to have a revolving door policy, but I feel in over a year, Unai hasn't shown any clear identity and playing style. A lack of a press, a lack of new ideas. I believe he shouldn't have a new. His contract shouldn't be renewed. Your thoughts?
I think that's incredibly harsh to say on that. The last point, though, maybe for different reasons, but I think when you look at the squad and look at the turnover that we've had to do in that squad, the stat was going around, wasn't it? The FA Cup final team now only has two players in it left at the club. I think that's more of the issue that we've had so many. We've got to clear out this squad basically, and then look at. We've cleared out the manager. It's the kind of last thing that needs to be done. I think we have seen, in terms of identity, we're getting there with the players coming in. We saw tactics, certainly. You know, we tried to fill that body, that midfield with energy and bodies. And with the front three, once we kind of get those ticking, I think the only thing that perhaps you say with lack of a press, I think that just depends on what side you're playing. You know, we pressed Spurs at the right times. We pressed them and we nearly scored when we started pressing Lloris heavily when he was playing those 2 yard passes to Jan Vertonghen, who then had no idea what to do with it. And then we weren't pressing when they were bringing the ball out because there wasn't anything to it. The biggest problem I did have with how we were in terms of pressing them was just Kolasinac's game in terms of not getting... He was just in between the two of it. And I think that's more of the issue, is it's not Unai trying to get his complete ideas. It's that one person not doing it or the two people not doing it that means that it looks like we don't have a plan. You look at someone like Liverpool or even Spurs, once you know everybody's on board with that playing style, so it looks like they've got tactics because not one person lets them down. Or even Guardiola, you know, Aguero misplaces a pass, he comes straight off. Doesn't matter who you are. To be fair, they've got a decent player to replace him with, and we can't necessarily be that aggressive in our tactics. But it's one of those that give them to the end of the season and we'll start seeing these kind of things. You know, it doesn't happen overnight.
Okay. I'll answer the next one. Pete Coulson asks, apparently it's inevitable that a super-duper Euro League will be happening, thanks to the greedy owners. Personally, I will cease to support Arsenal if it happens. What about you? I'll be devastated if they go to a Euro League, but I only watch football to watch the Arsenal. So I'll keep on watching them. Keep on supporting. Sorry, Pete, it's just... It's shit, but that's progress.
Get his point, though.
Yeah.
I struggle to enjoy it.
Soul will go out of the game.
It will be absolutely horrendous. And I got to be honest, I think it'll bite them in the ass long term. bet.
We'll all adjust because we all love this club, but we won't enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely not. Chris Carlito El Guna asks, so far Arsenal have conceded 6 goals in 4 games. Are we on target to conceding another 50-plus goals in the league this season?
I think ask me that question again in December, because I think what you have to consider at the moment is we're playing arguably 3 of our back 4 and not first choice. So I think when Hector and Tierney are back in place, I think they are your first choice fullbacks. And I think Rob Holding is probably your first choice centre back alongside one of Luis or Socrates. So I think you probably will see things tighten up a bit when they're in place. You certainly get continuity. But right now, if we have this defence for the rest of the season, yeah, we probably will ship that many. But on the flip side, I think we'll score more goals this season. So it's horses for courses. And for the record, I've actually been quite impressed with Ainsley Maitland-Niles. I think he's been getting better in that position. He's still not a right back for me, but he's certainly no worse than Kolasinac, who technically is a left wing back, apparently. So, and that's not to have a go at Kolasinac. I'm just saying I think Maitland-Niles is getting to his level. So I think defensively he's coming on a bundle. And I think we've got enough midfield options now. I would focus on keeping him in that position and working at him and getting him to work with Hector and learn. Because if we do that, we've got potentially 2 right backs for the next 5 to 6 years. And then we just need an understudy for Tierney and we're set in that position as well. So, yeah, I would judge us a little bit more when those players are back, personally.
Okay. John, Loki73 asks, is Emery a crazy genius or a knuckle-dragging fool? I still can't work it out. What's your
I think he's a man who realises when he's made a mistake and generally adjusts well for it. Not all the time, because I think he cocked up in the Liverpool game with some of his subs. But I think normally if he's got something wrong, he'll try to adjust in the game, whether it's tactically with the players already on the pitch or with substitutions he makes. I do think he overthinks things sometimes and overanalyses. I don't think as a club we're ever going to get any further than 3rd in the league with Emery as manager. But I think that's the best we can hope for. I don't think we'd ever win the Champions League under him. We'd definitely never win the Premier League under him. The best we could ever win in terms of trophies would be, you know, League Cup, FA Cup, Europa League, which, don't get me wrong, I'd happily take all 3 of those this season. That'd be amazing. But I think we're very much at a plateau with Emery. I think the team and the performances and stuff will get better, but I don't think we're ever going to be in a position to challenge with him as manager.
Okay, Josh, John Bernstein asks, is it a problem that only Laka and Albert are scoring for us?
I mean, it is if, you know, someone like Pepe doesn't come in to add to those numbers. But I think just looking at it generally, you know, we got a lot of goals out of Laka and Aubameyang. I'd be worried about what we've got to do with them in the Europa League. We didn't get, I wouldn't say we got the hardest group in Europa League, but there are some actually competent teams in there compared to the last couple of group stages we've got. So that's where I'd be wondering who we're going to have as kind of striker for that point of view. You know, Nketiah's doing things in Leeds at the moment, so fair play to him, but we do need to find goals from elsewhere on the pitch, which can only be a good thing for us. You know, we saw it under Wenger. After Omri, after RVP, we generally had the goals spread out quite nicely across the team. And I think it was just a case of we need to do that again, because we have got, at the moment, a 2 points of failure in the team.
It's a real shame that Burger King Hackney didn't make the Europa League group stage in the end. It's a shame that, because I was rooting for them. But you get what you get, don't you?
I had a trial with him.
Did you?
Yeah. 3-1.
Did you end up at Lidl instead?
They wouldn't take me either. It's terrible.
Continental flair.
I'm keeping my comments to myself there. Don one asks a question for me. Papa and Holding, Papa and Luis, or Holding and Luis? I'd go Holding and Luis every single day. And the last question for you, Chris, because you're back on the live show. From Jim Housen, would you fancy playing David Luiz as a defensive midfielder?
Over Xhaka? Yeah. Sorry, I had to get that in there. I don't think
you're a petty, petty man.
Says the man who picks on Socrates every week. You've set yourself up for that, my friend. I don't know. I don't think it would be the worst idea, but I think we've got better options to negate the need. Let's put it that way. I think Ceballos will be a really, really good addition. I'm one of the few positive people who thinks that he'll actually end up signing permanently with us, because I think a season's a long time in football, and I think when he gets settled over here and realises that he probably will be first choice, and he sees when Zidane gets sacked again and Real Madrid become a basket case again, I think he might realise that it might be worth sticking around with him, with us. I think him, Torreira and Guendouzi form the future of our central midfield, and that's excluding the opportunity of potentially bringing in new players again next summer. So, no, I don't think I would put Luis in ahead of players. That said, if we're struggling and we have got injuries, or you know, we're trying to close out games, I wouldn't be against him playing in that position. But I would definitely like a strong back four behind him before I'd consider it. Good question. Okay. Huh?
Right, that's it for today then, guys. Been going for an hour and a half. Apologies to a few of you. We've lost some of the questions again. It's the new software we're using. We're going to have to find a different way of doing it now with questions.
It's Danny's fault.
Don't blame Dan.
Oh, we've got to blame someone. We can't take the blame ourselves.
Don't. So I know K-Man 1867, Kali Jorguna, there are a few people there. Apologies, guys. I'm very, very sorry. There are now 393 of you watching, and I've only got 126 likes. That's fucking disgraceful. I will be writing to each and every one of your parents explaining why you need taking out the back and having a good swift thrashing. You're absolute wrong ends, the lot of you. I was expecting 150 and you've let yourselves down. You're a little bit like Socrates going up for a header off bloody Xhaka in the box. Shame on you. Shame on you. But there have been some fabulous people. Thank you very much for the donations from the always generous J-Rob, Yvonne Okafor, Stephen Edwards, Blair Slater, international man of mystery, Sahal Ibrahim, Jim Housen, and magnificent Marcus Hodges. Guys, you know, thank you so much for your support. It's not the result we wanted today. It's really not. But it's not a loss. I think that's the only way I can describe it. It wasn't a bad game of football. It just wasn't. But I don't know, guys, were you all disappointed? Or?
Yeah, I just felt like it's one of those games where if we managed the time a bit better and a few of the chances, we could have won it. But look, considering the two stupid goals we gave away, and they were both stupid goals to give away, the comeback was encouraging, at least.
Yeah, love the fight, love the heart. The only disappointment for me, last 10, 15 minutes, we didn't manage the game better.
Yeah.
We just slowed it down a bit and created the chances. But
there was plenty of pressure and no penetration.
I've heard that.
Yeah, a la John's autobiography. My thanks to magnificent Josh Dorr. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, guys. It's been great. It's been a great place to vent, to be honest, because I think the words I said when I came in and we hadn't done the show would have taken us off air immediately.
Chris, he even carpenters the shit out of his goodbyes now. I blame you. Thank you
I
very
can
much,
continue
Chris.
If you want, to be fair,
no,
mate.
No, I really don't. Chris, thank you very much, mate.
Our pleasure, mate. I shall try and stick my head in every once in a while, but not for 2 weeks because I'm on holiday this time next week and I will not be thinking about any of you. Not one of you. Not
it's
you,
international
Charlie.
Break, Chris. You can start cheering on England. We've got Kosovo and Andorra, I think.
Josh, I'd rather shit in my hands and clap than cheer on England, but thank you for the kind offer anyway.
John, you're the only sane one left with me. Thank you, pal.
I mean, that's worrying, to be fair.
That speaks volumes.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I'm the one on prescription medication, so you're fucked.
To be fair, mate, I've been down that road before. You know what I mean?
There you go. It's
just the way we roll. Another reminder, the Barbican Pirates draw to win the She-War Watch. that's worth about 100 quid. The Shiwo clock, that's worth about 80 quid. The pirate shirt, that's worth £2.50 and a hand shandy on the back of Tesco's. Is still available. Okay, it's a nice night shirt. And to be fair, Christopher, he does a good job with them. And you can have whatever you want printed on there. So you can say, the pirates are awful. Or we care, do ye?
Don't encourage them.
Pretty good, though, couldn't it? So, you know, it's only £5 per entry, and it goes to a good cause. So crack on. Thank you ever so much, everyone. Thank you for your support. You've all been brilliant. Disappointing day that we didn't win, but hey, we didn't lose. Onwards and upwards. The next live show will be after the international break. We've got a couple of specials coming up, and Danny will no doubt organise the podcast this week at last moment, like he does all the time. So thank you. Take care. Good night. Keep it Arsenal, people. Jace, switch this shit off.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.